Okay, tonight we're going to be finishing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be praying for those who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So tonight we're going to be doing both. And hi, Ann. And so we're just going to be kind of quieter while, not really. See her fingernails? Aren't they beautiful? Grammy did her fingernails today. Oh. Isn't that nice? Isn't that pretty? Did her toes too. Come on up here. Here we go. Okay, so what we want to do is we want to get into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talked about already some of the basic principles. You listening? No, you got to listen because you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit early. We talked that it was the promise of the Father, that it is a different experience than from salvation. Everyone got that clear?
Yes.
Not the same experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is different from that of salvation. We proved that from John 20 into Acts chapter 1. We come to the place where it was talking about why would God use tongues as an evidence. Very simple, because the tongue, the Bible is so very clear, is our most evil member. Turn to someone and say, you got an evil member. James chapter 3, a whole chapter in the book of the Bible, talks about how evil the tongue is. That we can steer a whole ship with a small rudder. We can make a horse that weighs 2,000 pounds move around with a bit in its mouth. But the tongue is like a raging forest fire. Oh. And really, you know, one moment sweet is coming out. The next minute, evil is coming out. And the tongue needs to be tamed. If a man can tame his tongue, the Bible says, then he is a perfect man or a mature man. And so the necessity of taming your tongue is very important. We know that life and death are in the power of the tongue. We know that the tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. So our tongue is very powerful. We know out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we're talking about the power of the tongue. So why would God use tongues as an initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's simple. Because if you're praying in tongues, you're not speaking evil. If you're praying in tongues, then you know you're making intercession. We'll prove that to you in a little bit. When you're praying in tongues, you're making intercession. So you're moving in the supernatural rather than allowing the evil tongue to steer your ship. This is why you need to pray in tongues more and often. Turn to someone and say, pray in tongues?
Pray.
Often and always. Because it helps steer. So it's very important to recognize that why God used tongues was because it was an evil member and we need to make sure that it is controlled. Are we stuck? Oh, yeah, I know. That's your pacifier. I'm sorry. My hand got between her and her pacifier. That wasn't good. Yes. We are on page 85. 89 or 85. Whatever one you're in. So, we started talking about have tongues ceased for today. And we talked about mainly the Calvinistic. What's that? The Calvinistic background. Oh, you want another one?
No.
About the Calvinistic back. Oh, that's really good. Thank you.
They're not for you. They were for Pastor Rhonda.
I know. Baby, Pastor Rhonda. So we're talking about, has tongues ceased for today? And we talked about the Calvinistic church that is very clear. Calvinists say that there are no tongues for today. That tongues are actually, some go to the place of actually, what? You want to just get down? Pastor Obi, can you make a delivery? Pastor Rhonda, she's teaching. Just bring her in, put her on her lap.
Yes, sir.
Go with Obi for a minute. Grammy's going to be over there. Okay, so let's get into this. So we talked about the number one verse that the Calvinists used to dispel that tongues are for today, and that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We read it last week, dealing with love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, they will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. So if it's going to be done away with, then you can't take a part of the verse and throw it away like tongues has ceased. You've got to look at all of it. Has knowledge ceased?
No.
Absolutely not. Since early years of this century, the number of engineers has grown more than fivefold relative to the population. Another measure of our increasing scientific knowledge is the growth of the scientific journals. In the late 19th century, there were about 5,000 scientific journals compared to more than 60,000 that are today. In 1900, there were 10,000, yeah, it shouldn't be psychics, physics, and electrical engineers, I'll figure that out, and abstract. Now there are more than 250,000. So knowledge isn't getting less, knowledge is increasing. So if knowledge hasn't ceased, has tongues ceased?
No.
So this is a serious problem when you start dealing with the Calvinists, because when you address this to them, they don't really know what to do. They've just been taught, and most of Calvinists have been taught, they don't know why they don't believe in tongues. They don't know why they believe in once saved, always saved. They just know they believe it. And when you ask them why, they're not sure. So there's a necessity of educating people. And that's why I'm giving you the understanding, not just of what we believe, but what others believe as well. So I'm not bashing churches, but it's important for you to know and understand what they believe. Has prophecy ceased? No, there are still prophecies that are going on today. Personal prophecies as well as public prophecies. We know that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy is one of the gifts to the church. So prophecies have not ceased. So as tongues ceased, if knowledge has not ceased, if prophecies have not ceased, then why would tongues have ceased? It hasn't. And this is the issue that we've got to address, because a lot of people are just saying tongues are not for today. I want you to know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues is for right now, is for today, is for you. Turn to someone and say, this is for you. Surprisingly enough, the Baptists, who are Calvinists, the Southern Baptist Convention took a stance, and this is what it was. Will Hall, a spokesman for the Southern Baptist Convention, says the denomination has no official policy on speaking in tongues for its churches or individual members, but there are signs the practices of gaining acceptance. Dallas Theological Seminary and Campus Crusade for Christ, two strongholds of independent Christianity, have done away with the traditions in speaking in tongues for students and for staff. So it is not an abnormal factor. In fact, right now in many Pentecostal churches, tongues are no longer accepted. In Pentecostal churches, in most Pentecostal churches, tongues are no longer accepted. There are churches right now, and I mentioned it last week, is a church that most people in this room have either heard of or listening to. It's great preaching, but the problem is the pastor is baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaks with other tongues, but he won't allow it in his congregation because he doesn't want to be offensive or offend anybody. I want you to know that here we believe 100% in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. We will not recant. We will not rescind. We will not step back. It is for today. It is for you. It is a gift from Jesus to you. And therefore, it's important for you to receive all that Christ has for you. Nothing to be afraid of, because God never gives junk. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, this is what I want to get into, because some people have bad education. There is a difference between public tongues and private tongues. Now, why is this important? Because a lot of people will say to me, well, you know, I believe in tongues, but it's not my gift. I want you to know that if you are saved, how many of you are saved in the room? Okay, we can do a salvation message here pretty soon. How many here know Jesus Christ is their personal Savior? That was a little bit better. We'll try one more time. How many people are going to heaven if you die tonight because of the blood? Amen. Thank you very much. Jesus, hallelujah. The Bible makes a declaration in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 39, and it says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So if you're saved, you're part of the called, amen? Amen. Therefore, this gift is for you. Turn to someone and say, I have a gift, and it's from Jesus, and I want it. Amen. I've never met anybody who didn't want what God gave. He only gives good stuff, amen?
So you want to ask the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll get into that in a little bit. But I want to cover the difference between public tongues and private tongues. Now, public tongues, a lot of people believe that if I speak in tongues, then it has to be interpreted every single time. Now, publicly, there's a gift of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gifts of the Spirit, there are 9 of them. There are 3 verbal gifts. There are 3 knowledge gifts, and there are 3 power gifts. The 3 verbal gifts, one of them is tongues with the interpretation of tongues. Very important. Why do we have these gifts? These gifts are for the edification of the saints. That means encouraging us, strengthening us, God speaking to us. I want to remind you that tongues with the interpretation of tongues equals prophecy. So, tongues with the interpretation of tongues done in a public event needs interpretation. Now, let me qualify that a little bit more as well. Just because someone prays in tongues or speaks in tongues in church, if it's personal, it doesn't need to be interpreted. So let me give you an example. Many times, if you're up near the altar at all, you hear me praying in tongues pretty much through the whole worship service. I'm just talking to Jesus, stirring up the gift of God that's within me that I receive by the laying on of hands. My wife is usually praying in tongues as well. And what we're doing by praying in tongues, we're preparing our own spirit. But beyond that, what we're also doing is we're breaking down things God is praying through us, making intercession through us. It is not a tongue that needs to be interpreted. There are times, in fact, Pastor Johnson did it not too many weeks ago, where he said, I don't remember what service it was, where he says, let's all just pray in the Spirit, praying in tongues. Well, that doesn't need to be interpretation for that, because that's personal tongues, even though it's being done in a public arena. It's a personal tongue, not a public tongue. So how can you tell if it's a personal tongue or a private tongue? It's very simple. Because when God starts moving in that gift, the power is so amazing that everybody will be quiet without even having to say anything. I remember once it was when I was first in the ministry, first senior pastoring. I was in Newfield, New York. And we were in the service, and it was a Easter Sunday morning. Oh, Lord. So we had people in the building. And a lot of people up in that arena are Calvinists. They came from a Baptist background. And so here they were, they're filling our church building. And a woman jumps up in the middle of worship and starts to give a tongue. The hair on the back of my head stood up. It was definitely a God scene. And all of a sudden she brought the interpretation. She brought the interpretation. Pray that you may interpret. So she brought the tongues, she brought the interpretation, it was so powerful. And I said to myself, well, there goes the congregation. Well, when you're a pastor in a smaller work, Sunday afternoons are very eventful. Because that's when people always call you to complain. So I'm waiting by the phone, Easter Sunday, I'm waiting for the phone to start hearing the complaints, and the phone, of course, started ringing. And some of the more prominent Calvinists picked up, were on the other end. I said, hi, how are you? I'm thinking to myself, here we go. And they said, Pastor, that's the first time we've ever heard anything like this. I don't understand. I don't know what it was. But the hair is still standing up on my head. I know it was God. That was cool. I didn't lose one person that morning. In fact, we had a lot of converts. Hallelujah. We had a lot of people say, I don't know what that was. I don't understand it, but I want what that woman had. So tongues, that was a public tongue with the interpretation. I was in another congregation of about 5,000. My wife and I were sitting in the first 2 rows, and worship was going on, and all of a sudden, it was at Rod Parsley's church, all of a sudden, from way, way, way back, someone started yelling out in tongues. It was a unison thing. Now, if you were in church on Sunday morning, first service, there was a hush in the Spirit. How many of you were here for that hush in the Spirit? It was a hush in the Spirit. No one had to tell anybody to be quiet. You could hear a pin drop in the room. Just the anointing was so strong. It was so hushed. Man of God, so hushed, so quiet. It was so powerful. And it was so neat. But that's what happened that day. In 5,000 people, we were worshiping. People were jumping. People were shouting. And all of a sudden, the tongues came from way back. And guess what happened? The entire congregation went hushed immediately. And we all waited. And all of a sudden, the interpretation came from one of the pastors. And my wife and I, like I said, standing in the second row. And the interpretation was, the Lord is raising up a new generation of young men and women to bring forth the supernatural power of God. And he's confirming this by your hands are vibrating. Well, before the tongues ever hit, my hand had this weird vibration in it. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this? I wonder if I'm okay. Maybe I didn't have enough sugar or something. You know what I mean? And the interpretation was right on and right perfect. It was so amazing. But there was a tongue with the interpretation, and the way we knew it was God was the hush that came upon the entire body. Because the Holy Spirit will hush the congregation when it is a God thing. Some of you know Miss Shirley. She sits in the front row. She's older and somewhat frail. She's a very small lady. And one day in the middle of service, she just busted out in tongues. And you could just barely hear her. But all of a sudden, the whole congregation went, hush. And out came the interpretation. When it's a God thing, man, it is something you don't have to question. This gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is different from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are brought forth to edify, encourage, and build the local church, and always must be interpreted. But private tongues are not for that. You do not need to interpret private tongues. This is for you. This is your prayer language. This is what God gives you to build and strengthen. And of course, we'll go through the verses. Private tongues. Here we go. Jesus told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait till they receive the promise of the Father. The purpose of the baptism is not speaking in tongues. However, it is to impart more power to us. Turn to someone and say, I need more power. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power. Dunamis, supernatural. That the word dunamis is like a dynamo. Does anybody know what a dynamo is? We get energy, or let's say Niagara Falls. Water goes over a dynamo and it starts turning. And all of a sudden the turbine starts producing. And that is the dynamo. That supernatural power is what God is saying is inside of you. The Holy Spirit will give you dunamis, supernatural power to do things beyond your own personal capabilities. And that's what Jesus told them to wait for. The power is necessary to be a greater witness. Because how many of you know when you start standing up to be a witness, people are going to start persecuting you? You need to be persecuted. It's good for your health. If you're never persecuted, you got to wonder if you're making a stand. I'll take a sip on that one. Let's put it this way. If you were arrested today, would there be enough evidence of your life, not your church life, enough evidence of your life during the week to go to heaven, to be convicted? Could you be convicted of being a Christian if they started bringing evidence against your life? Well, I pray so. Does anybody at work know you're born again? Yes? Yes. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ?
No.
This is where the power of God comes into play in your life. The anointing gives you a boldness. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gives you a supernatural boldness that you will be willing to share the gospel, to be able to share the message of Christ and not be ashamed. And that is one of the great importances of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We recently had a service with a man named Eddie James. How many of you have ever heard of Eddie James? Oh man, what a great man of God. And today he's huge in the Christian praise and worship world. I think we had him when they first began, Cody, didn't we? We had him when we first began. I think we paid him a few thousand dollars. And now I think he's like, how big? 30?
Yeah, 30.
He's about $30,000 to bring in. So it's like, yeah, he really grew. So we're glad we got him young. Hallelujah. And he said this. He used this awesome example. He said, when you go to buy a shoe, you do not go to buy the tongue, but you buy the shoe. The tongue comes with the shoe, so don't seek the tongue, seek the shoe. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is you're not seeking after tongues, you're seeking after the baptizer. Who's the baptizer? Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with... So Jesus is the baptizer. So you seek the baptizer. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the evidences, every shoe comes with a tongue. So you're going to speak in other tongues. It's very simple. We don't want to make this difficult. No gift from God is hard. Can you imagine how many of you have ever had a gift that was difficult to open? Every once in a while, well, for Christmas, I did it for a few years. I would buy my wife something and I would wrap it in like five boxes with duct tape and make sure there were no knives in the house. You know what I mean? Sometimes I would hide her gift out in, I would start with, go to your drawer for your next clue. And I'd make sure it was really winter, so she'd have to run outside, outside and find her gift in the garage. You know what I mean? It's a lot of fun. But, yes. You don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, because the Bible talks about true tongues come from the belly. It's the utterance from the Spirit talking to the Holy Spirit.
Public tongues, correct. Public tongues will always be interpreted because what a public tongue is, God speaking to the congregation. And the Bible says it's really more for a witness even to sinners. Private tongues, you don't know what you're saying, and the verses are very simple here, so let's get into it a little bit more. So what is the purpose for private tongues? First of all, it is fulfilling prophecy found in the book of Acts and also Joel. Private tongues edifies yourself. So when you're speaking in other tongues, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in spirit he speaks mysteries. Which says this, you don't know what you're saying when you're speaking in other tongues. The Holy Spirit is praying through you. He's speaking through you. You don't know what you're praying. But does that really matter? Because you're a conduit. Everybody knows what a conduit is? Conduit is you are the vessel that he's pouring himself through. So why is tongues so important? Because you don't know what you're praying for. I always give the example, but it's so powerful. When I was in Bible school, there was a woman, they told us the example. There was a woman in the second story apartment, and she was praying in other tongues. And she was spirit-filled, praying in tongues, having a great time in the Holy Spirit. And she got a little loud. And the lady from downstairs ran upstairs and started knocking on her door. And said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And she says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disturb you. And she says, no, I'm from Sicily, and you're praying in perfect Sicilian Italian for a little boy who's drowning off the coast. The cool part about tongues, you might not know what you're saying in the flesh, but God is using you to pray for things. He's using you to pray for your future sometimes. I pray in tongues a lot. I love what Paul says. I pray in tongues more than you all. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14. I pray in tongues a lot. Tongues are very normal in my house. My kids were all baptized in the Holy Spirit at a very young age. If you saw the video of my granddaughter walking around praying in the upstairs of her parents' house, she was walking around like our whole family prays. We all walk around praying in tongues all the time. So as a little baby, she's not even a year and a half, she's walking around, and we don't know if she's praying in tongues or she's just being a baby, but she's praying just like her parents would pray, you know what I mean? No one knows what they're saying. Now, sometimes God will let you know the line of what you're praying for. But most of the time, your brain, your mind is unfruitful, is what the scripture says. But your spirit is connected spirit to spirit. This is very important to recognize why God wants to use tongues. Number one, your tongue is arrested from speaking evil. Number two, you're edifying yourself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Jude, verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up with the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you literally stir up the gift of God that you receive by the laying on of hands, that dynamo. You all of a sudden start praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden you start just getting excited in the Holy Ghost. You just start stirring up your spiritual man. And that's very important. I do that all the time.
especially if I feel or sense some kind of oppression or I'm not sure what to pray for. Or sometimes if I get discouraged, the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. I'll pray in tongues because tongues are a mighty tool that Christ has given us to edify, encourage, strengthen ourselves, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. You're not interrupting. Absolutely. Oh no, you have absolute control.
Okay.
You have absolute control.
But you don't know what you're saying.
Correct. No, in fact, you know, it's amazing because when you start speaking in tongues, the very first thing that happens is, am I making this up? Who am I copying? Your flesh tries to talk you out of it immediately. Well, because your flesh doesn't want you praying in other tongues. He doesn't want, your soulish man doesn't want you more powerful than they are. So what happens when you start praying in tongues? You just get fluid. You know, like when a baby starts speaking, sometimes they babble a little. But when you start praying in other tongues, man, the more you pray in tongues, the more often you pray in tongues, the more fluid you become. I can pray in tongues right now. I've had my language change over the years. I've had times when I've had people come up, and I know individuals that have actually gone to different countries and just prayed in tongues, and they were actually speaking the language of the country that they were visiting.
It's easier to speak in tongues to me than it is to pray in English.
In English. Tongues are become a normal language to your life. Yes. No, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, there are tongues of men and of angels. So sometimes when you're praying in tongues, it will be a tongue that will be of another nation on this earth. But then there are tongues that are just angelic. It's an angelic language that God gives you between you and him, spirit to spirit. And that's the amazing part. You're edifying yourself. You're connected completely to Christ, spirit to spirit, because your spirit's praying, the Holy Ghost praying through you. And all of a sudden, man, you're just encouraging yourself. You're getting all happy. And God is using you as a conduit to move his power through.
Personally, the Holy Spirit is really moving them, speaking in tongues. From the depth of my inner self, it's a stirring from the inside out.
Yep.
It may start initially, okay, up here, da 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 da, and the next thing you know, it's like a...
That's that edification. Jesus said in the book of John that rivers of living water shall flow out of the innermost parts of your belly.
Right.
Yes. No. No, because it's a gift. It's a gift to his children, not a gift to the unsaved. So I'm sorry.
Why is it at times, at least with me, I'll be praying in tongues and I get to a level and my voice changes?
It's just the Holy Spirit working through you. And everyone, God works through you so different. I know people, when they speak in other tongues, it sounds just like Chinese. I know other people sounds just like a Spanish dialect. I know others, who knows? I mean, and that's the neat part, is because it's a tongue of men or angels. Yes, young lady.
No, I'm sorry if I missed this, but if you're connected spirit to spirit, so you're praying in tongues, then if that's different than speaking in tongues, then how could somebody else recognize that? Like you said that people hear you talking in a different language. How would...
That would be like if it needs to be, give you an example. The Azusa Street Revival, which was a 1906 experience, it literally changed the world. So this man stood up in church and he started speaking out in tongues, like the gift of tongues. And there was no interpretation. So the preacher rebuked him because there must be an interpretation or it brings confusion. And all of a sudden, a man from about midway back from the service stood up and he was crying. He said, no, 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 sir. I have the interpretation. He said, he is speaking my language from my native land. And he just told me all the sins that I have been living in and that I need to repent or die.
Wow. Ooh.
Amen.
Ooh.
Okay. But when it's private tongues, You might not know the interpretation. You might be speaking the tongues of angels, which is the angelic language or the language that God gives you between you and him alone. And most of the time, that's what it is when you're praying in other tongues. It's spirit to spirit. You are speaking to God by the Holy Spirit. Who's giving you tongues? The Holy Spirit's giving you tongues. As the Spirit gives you the utterance. As the Spirit gives you the utterance, he's praying through you. And so really it becomes just a very euphoric experience. And sometimes, you know, like most of the time when I'm praying in the mornings, this morning I probably prayed 40 minutes in the Spirit. In fact, I love what Kenneth Hagin says. He says, before you ever speak a word of English, you should pray in tongues at least for 10 minutes. He says it prepares your spirit for the day. Rather than stepping right into flesh, into the regular world, just pray in tongues for the first 10 minutes of your life. I had a woman who was coming to my church in Newfield. She had been molested and had horrible situations happen in her past. And she had been to a counselor for 11 years. And paying over $100 for each visit. And I said, honey, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, now speak in tongues for the first 10 minutes. Don't speak to anybody else. She did that, and in 1 month, her whole life was completely changed. What a counselor couldn't do in 11 years, Jesus did in just a few days. Because that is the power of the Holy Spirit. So one of the purposes for the for personal tongues is edifying yourself. The other one is intercession. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us through the groanings which cannot be uttered. So what this means is that sometimes when you're praying in tongues, you're actually interceding or standing in the gap for somebody. A good example, we had a man get saved at our church. And he was a police officer, and he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And one night, he was supposed to go in, and he had called off. And he was upstairs in his house, and praying in tongues. And the Spirit of God came on him with such an enormous burden that the only thing he could do was pray in other tongues. But he did know that he was praying for his partner that was getting ready to go on shift. So he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Didn't know what he was praying for, but this burden was so heavy. You ever had a burden that was heavy? Just like, oh my goodness, I cannot not pray. And so all of a sudden, guess what happened? It lifted. And he called the station and he said, is my partner in? And he goes, no, for whatever reason, he just called off. So who knows what would have happened to that guy on that shift, but yet his partner had the burden and prayed through, and the man chose not to go out on duty that evening. I mean, you just never know. It's the power where the Holy Spirit will pray through you. I remember one time I was in Bible school, and a friend of mine who now pastors in Rochester, used to pastor in Watkins Glen, he had a sister-in-law who was backslidden. She lived in Texas. And he showed me her picture, and it was the first time I'd ever seen her picture. I didn't know her. I just knew her name. I didn't even know her address. I knew the name of the town, but that's it. And so immediately, I just felt a burden come on my heart for her. Every day for 3 months, I went down to the prayer room for 2 hours praying in other tongues for this young lady. Didn't know what I was praying, just knew I didn't have a choice. I had to pray. I had to intercede. And so as I'm praying, it came about the third month, and I said, Lord, I need to see the evidence of this prayer. Within a day, she called the brother-in-law and said, I'll be up for graduation. Within 2 more weeks after that, she was saved, moved out of her boyfriend's house. Then she started moving on with Jesus. That when she moved, came up here and got saved, the burden lifted off of me. I never prayed for her since. The spirit of intercession, and when we don't know what to pray, just the other day I had a humongous burden on my heart for an individual at the church. I don't know what they were going through. I don't know what was happening in their life in detail, but I just knew that I had to pray for them, and I didn't have words to pray. I didn't know what words to pray. So I just started praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. And I don't know exactly how long I prayed, but all of a sudden it just went whoop, and the burden lifted off me, and I was done, I was good, and then I could just pray for anything else I wanted in English. So tongues are a very important part of your prayer life, because it actually, the Holy Spirit will intercede for you. He'll intercede for your future. He'll intercede for things you're believing for. You'll be praying in other tongues, and what you might not realize while you're praying in other tongues, he's just moved two or three barriers in your life that would try to hold you back from the answer that God has for your life. Man, tongues are so important for you, and you need to receive. Now, the next one is another benefit is that you're speaking divine secrets in worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, for he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 11, Cretans and Arabs, we heard them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. Acts chapter 10, verse 46, and they heard them speak with tongues and magnifying God. Sometimes during worship, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 10, verse 46. Sometimes during worship, man, there are not good enough words to say to God. You ever get to that place? The Hebrew word is called tehillai. Tehillai. You know what that means? That means, I can't say anymore, worship through me. Oh, that is powerful. Just saying that, I got the Holy Ghost moves. Tehillai means, I don't have words to say. I've praised him all I can. I've worshiped with all that I know. Now, worship through me. There is a time in worship when you're praying when you're just worshiping in tongues. The anointing just erupts in your spirit. So there is a worship. And I just want to encourage you, man. These are three amazing benefits for your life. Edifying yourself, interceding for yourself and other people, and speaking divine secrets, which means you and God, it's you and him, you and him, you and him. Your mind will be unfruitful, but your spirit is worshiping and speaking divine secrets to the Lord. It's an amazing thing. And for those who have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, many times the very first thing when it's time to get prayed for, they get really nervous. Now, children never get nervous. Children just receive gifts so easily. I know there are different types of people when it's time to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people have been trained so badly, you know, if they came from a Calvinistic background and they were told that it was demonic, well, they have a real difficult time receiving. Because in their mind, they have to battle through the lies that they've already been spoken. You know, sometimes you got to be careful who you listen to.
Amen.
You don't just let anybody speak in your life. You don't let just anybody speak in your life. Because when they speak it, it's there. Words are life and death. I don't let anybody just speak in my life. Some people say, well, you know, I listen to all these different preachers. And I look at them and say, what are you, crazy? I don't listen to just any preacher. I just don't turn the tube on and listen to anybody that's on there. I make sure that they are people that are full gospel, Bible believing, tongue talking, Holy Ghost believing, miracle praying people. If they're not, I'm not willing to submit my spirit to them. Because remember what's happening when you're listening to someone preach is you're saying, I want you to speak into my life. I want to be like you. You got to be careful. And I know I've told this. Sometimes I just repeat myself and I apologize. Dr. Hagin walked into an office one time, a pastor's office one time, and he said it was the most beautiful, elaborate office he had ever seen in his entire life. It was a step-down, octagon office, and the walls were a library, just stacked with volumes and volumes and volumes of books. It was made of oak, and the desk sat on the far side. And he walked over to the pastor sitting behind the desk, and he says, sir, I have never seen such an elaborate library in my entire life. This is a gorgeous office, and the library is beautiful. And he says, sir, and so many of those books have damned me. Because he read them, and what was in them was not the word of God. It was not for the things of God. It was for whether it be Calvinism or one of the other things that knocked down the spirit. Now what he had to do was retrain his mind. Listen, this is why I love sinners. I love a sinner getting saved. Why is that? They're easy. When Rich came, he was dropping the F-bomb, GD bomb, and Jesus Christ bomb all over the place. And people were, some people I'm sure were offended when they heard him talk. And I'm thinking, oh, I love this guy. It's true. Because he knew nothing. He knew nothing. I start talking to him about the things of God. And, oh, okay. Now, I didn't say he's gotten it all, but, you know, he's learning. He's slow, but he's getting it. It's in him. But I don't have to untrain things. It's harder to untrain things. That's why you got to be careful who you listen to. Don't just turn on the tube or read any book. Make sure you're feeding the right feed. You know, you can't expect to eat carcinogens and come away healthy. You've got to eat the right foods. And so this is the issue with people that sometimes come up for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is because they come up for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they've made it a hard gift. It'd be almost like this. And I have always wanted to do this when my children were young. It won't work anymore. But I always wanted to take all of their Christmas gifts and put them on the ceiling.
Oh, Dad.
I always wanted to do that. Well, you know, when they were small.
Yeah.
Take all the chairs out so they didn't have chairs. And watch them come down for Christmas. Remember when you were a kid? I remember when I was a kid, man. I would be up in bed. It's Christmas morning. And I was probably awake at 4 a.m. But you can't get out of bed. My parents didn't let us get out of bed. And I'd say, can we get out of bed now? No. Go to sleep. But when it was time, I busted out of those sheets. My feet hit the cold floor. I hit the top of the stairs, and thank God we had railings because those stairs were New England steep. And if you didn't duck, if you were tall, you'd wrap your head on the wall and be out. Yeah. Made my way down to the bottom of the stairs, and the Christmas tree was always on this side. And the first thing I did was I would turn and wait to see all the beautiful presents. And then I'd go see which ones were for me, and I'd shake them. Wouldn't it be awesome? You come downstairs, you're all excited, and you look under the tree, there are no gifts, they're all pasted to the ceiling. And you're too short to get up and get them. So you've got to stare at them at the ceiling, knowing that you can never get this gift. That's the concept of many believers when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They make something hard that is really made easy and exciting. One day I was in my second floor of my Bible college, walking through, and I ate a lot of Tootsie Rolls in Bible college. My favorite were the raspberry with the Tootsie Roll in the middle. That was my favorite. And so my girlfriend always made sure I had a steady supply. And so one day I had one in my pocket and one in my mouth, and I'm walking through the second floor, and I hear this, I'm walking by this room, and I hear this kid, oh God, fill me with Holy Spirit! please. And I had to poke my head in. And he was praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he's begging. Oh, God. Crying. Oh. And I looked at him and said, yeah, man, you're doing it all wrong. And he said, what? I just want God. I just want God. I want all that I get. I just want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, you're doing it all wrong. I said, a gift is a gift. You can't beg for a gift. If you have to beg for a gift, is it a gift anymore?
No.
No. And so I said, watch, man. You see this lollipop? I put that one back in my mouth, pulled the one out of my pocket, and said, see this lollipop? I want to give this lollipop to you. Okay. He took the lollipop, he unwrapped the lollipop, put it in his mouth. I said, you see how easy that was? Yeah. I said, that's as easy as it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. I said, I gave you a gift, you unwrapped it, and you put it in your mouth. I said, so I'm going to lay hands on you, and you're going to pray in other tongues the moment I lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. He said, okay. I said, take the lollipop out. Laid hands on him in the name of Jesus, and boom, he just started speaking in other tongues. We make it so hard. This is a free gift. This is a free gift. It's not something you have to beg for. You don't have to strain for. You don't have to sit there like you have diarrhea on the toilet. Man, this is a breeze. This is simplistic. This is easy. This is reception. You just have to receive the gift. How many of you got saved? Did you? Oh, God, please save me. No. Lord, thank you. I thank you for my salvation. I confess that your blood has washed away my sins. You received it. It was simple. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is that simple. Speaking in other tongues is that simple. But what happens is we adult minds talk ourselves out of it so quickly. Well, if I don't understand it, I'm not speaking it. Well, then you have no faith. And you got to receive everything by God by faith. My roommate, his name was Stephen Pelley. Stephen Pelley was a dangerous man. I didn't really realize this. Now, in my Bible college, there were four students in a very, very, very small room. Two bunk beds, two drawers, and a closet. That's all there was. It was very small, very uncomfortable. I had my own room growing up. Not anymore. One kid was 24 years old, had never kissed a girl. The other kid was 18 years old. His name was Kevin. He had his first child at 14. And Danny was underneath me. And I was in the top bunk. And the other guy, his name was Stephen Pelley. Stephen Pelley was 29 years old, had just gone out of Walpole State Prison for drugs. And one day, I just was going to torment Steve Pelley. And so he had his radio on. I turned it off. He got up, turned it on. I waited for him to get back in the top bunk. I jumped down, turned it off. He jumped down, turned it back on. I waited for him to get into the top bunk. I jumped down and turned it off. He leaned over and he says, "Listen, I learned how to take a man's face off in less than 30 seconds in Walpole. Don't make me kill you in this Bible college." I left it on. I was scared. Genuinely scared. But here's Steve. He's in his, I think it was in his third year of Bible college, and he had not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he'd been asking and asking and begging, and I'd heard him over in the corner praying, "Oh, please, God, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to speak in other tongues. God, please fill me." And one day, I got a Kenneth Hagin book, How to Speak in Other Tongues. And I gave it to him. I said, "Man, you should probably take this to your prayer closet." Took it to his prayer closet, and he came back and he said, "Man, I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit 2 years ago." He said, "I just talked myself out of it." He said, "I just let the words just flow that had came into my spirit." And he said, "That was easy." I said, "Yeah, that was easy. Hit the button. That was easy." Because God wants you filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to have more power. He wants you to move in the demonstration of God. He wants you to have that dunamis. He wants you to edify yourself. He wants you to intercede, and he wants you to speak divine secrets, divine mysteries to him when you're praying in other tongues. He wants this gift for you, or he would not have given you this. Yeah. What? What's a gift? It's free. So I tell people, it's very simple. The moment you start begging for a gift, just stop. Because at that moment, it's not a gift anymore. You made it something you got to work for. Wouldn't it be great, Christmas morning, your gifts are under the tree. You know it's what you want because you can only wrap a bicycle so many ways. I didn't give your baby candy or anything. Father, forgive me for I have sinned. So here you come down, you know it's your bicycle, man, you've been excited about it, it's Christmas morning, and your parent says, "All right, now before you get your gift, you got to go outside, you got to shovel for 3 hours. When you're done shoveling for 3 hours, bring in 4 loads of wood. Then you can have your gift." I think that stopped being a gift a long time ago, didn't it? A gift is simple. Yes?
I think at least back when I started going to church, it was different. Nobody explained the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you want the Holy Spirit, go down to the altar and tarry.
Right.
That was it. Go down to the altar.
Now, let me say that. In the old days, they would tell you had to tarry around the altar. Now, what's the word tarry mean? It means wait. Well, remember, they tarried in Jerusalem for 10 days. But after that, that was the last time you saw them tarrying. Every time after that, they received the moment they received. There was no more tarrying. The gift was dispelled. There's no more need to tarry.
And then people say after me.
Yes.
And then everybody. Yeah. They've done everything they could do.
Well, again, like I told you about my wife, one guy had a hand on this side of her head, looser, 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 looser. And the other one said, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And honestly, it's simple. You can get baptized in the Holy Spirit tonight, right here. You can get baptized when you get home. You can get baptized when you climb in bed. You get baptized in the shower. You get baptized on your way to Corning Community College like my wife did. You can get baptized around a Royal Ranger fire like I did. You can get baptized. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, where were you filled with the Holy Spirit?
My bedroom.
Bedroom? Driving home from Syracuse. Where else? Yes.
Sanctuary.
Land on the couch. Prayer circle.
Bathroom.
Bathroom. Ooh, Jesus. You were moved, weren't you? Anybody else? Where were you filled with the Holy Spirit? Speaking of the tongues. Yes.
Assembly of God camp meeting.
Assembly of God camp meeting. Come on, somebody else.
Bedroom.
Cody was on Water Street. He was 4 years old, right in the living room. He doesn't even remember. He just is always praying in tongues. Yes. On our way to go grocery shopping. See, we all try to make this really spiritual. Can I hover? No hovering needed. Because wherever you are, you can have this gift. Now, I have seen people that are very, what we call, lobers. They talk themselves out of everything. And I've seen times when God's actually baptized them in the Holy Spirit while they were sleeping. They've woken up speaking with other tongues. Because it was the only way God could get them to shut up. I'm talking up here. You know, when you're trying to deduce, there is no faith. When you just simply receive, you receive. Nothing's happening. I see this all the time. I don't hear anything. Honestly, it is as simple as just hearing. Alrighty, say this out loud. Say stop.
Stop.
Now don't say it out loud. Say it inside. Did you hear yourself say stop? Mm-hmm. God's going to give you words that you don't understand. You're hearing inside the same way, and you speak them out in faith. Why make it difficult? God's not going to take your tongue. Oh, I have seen it a few times. He'll take their tongue and go, whoa. Had one lady get filled with the Holy Ghost. It was in a rock solid faith class. Back then it was called catechism. She was a Lutheran by trade. And came, got filled with the Holy Ghost. She called me the next, actually her husband called me the next day and say, will she ever stop? One lady called, she says, I'm trying to stop, I can't stop. One young girl, she was 14 years old, got filled with the Holy Spirit for 3 days. She spoke only in tongues. And she just could not control. She couldn't speak in English if she wanted to. She was really looked strangely at it in Horseheads High School. But honestly, this is an amazing gift. And it is a free gift. And you want what God has. You want what God has. So, in Acts chapter 2, we see him filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. In Acts chapter 4, we see them filled with the Holy Spirit again. In Acts chapter 9, we see them filled with the Holy Spirit again. We see him filled in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 9 is Paul. We don't actually see him speaking in other tongues right there. We see that he's received the salvation and then received the Spirit. But in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. We see it in 16.
There are so many places in the scripture where you see them speaking with other tongues. It is a normal evidence of what's happened to your life. That has not stopped. And so, some people are afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. In fact, I'm the kind of guy where, if you don't want to be prayed for, I don't think that you're less spiritual. I just think you can get it in your bedroom, or you can get it in your car, or you can get filled with the Holy Spirit wherever you are. Make it simple, please. Make it simple. Don't make it hard. This is a gift. I told you last week about the girl. She was in my youth group, and I was praying for three people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and two of them spoke in tongues immediately. This other girl, her name was Kim, and Kim now is a pastor's wife in Canada. Kim Gibbons, I think her name is. What's that?
In Sarnia?
Sarnia, Canada. Cool. I didn't even know that. So she was in my youth group. So she was the third one I prayed for. And she was that Christian constipated, trying to make it happen, you know. And she was getting frustrated. And I said, listen, stop. Stop being a gift. The more you're frustrated, stop being a gift. Stop. I said, just relax. Just relax and receive. Well, she left that night without being filled with the Holy Spirit. A few months down the road, she went to go pray for her little cousin who was sick, laid hands on his head, started to pray, and it didn't come out English. It's simple. Please don't make this gift hard, but don't ever stop receiving. And once you've prayed in tongues, it's not over. That's the beginning. Pray in tongues often and always. You know, so many times we waste so much time in our lives. Pray in tongues. Instead of listening to country music, rock and roll on the way to work, turn the radio off and pray in tongues on the way to work. You'll be ready for work when you get there. God will fill you fresh and new all the time. You should be praying in tongues every single day, multiple times a day. And it just keeps that stirring up, that encouraging up, that edifying up. Stir up the gift of God that you receive by the laying on of hands. That's found in Timothy. Stir up the gift. Stir, 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 stir. So praying in tongues is very easy. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God's going to give you simple words. You speak them. Your mind says, I'm making it up. I'm copying somebody. This sounds weird. Just shut your mind up. Remember, your mind is subject to you in the name of Jesus. And just pray right out of your spirit. And you'll find it is simply that easy. Questions? Yes?
When I started, it was two syllables.
Two syllables. I know, we make it hard, don't we? But when you stepped out in faith, what happened?
But then I thought it wasn't real because it was only two syllables. So then I put myself in a cycle until I finally realized that it was.
It was. And then it grew. Simple. Yes.
Speaking with tongues, there's a couple questions in this one. Can it be directed towards a specific thing that you want to do, such as praying over the house? You want to pray over it, but instead of speaking in words, you speak in tongues?
Absolutely.
And can there be a different, all right, I'll use my example. I was in the house, praying over the house. I was using my natural tongue, and all of a sudden it just flipped to something I never spoke, didn't know what I was saying, and it felt a lot heavier than normal.
Yes.
What would that have
That means you didn't know exactly what to pray for, and the Holy Spirit took over and cleaned out whatever was needed to be done. Right. And that's the cool part. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's normal. You ever met somebody bilingual? They don't go, boy, I hope I'm saying Spanish right. You know, they just speak it. And you can see them flip-flop. They flip-flop all the time. You ever watch Maldonado? Apostle Maldonado preach? No, you haven't seen that? Dear Lord, look it up online. YouTube, Apostle Maldonado. He's out of Florida. He's of course, Spanish. He has a church of about, I think, 25,000, 30,000. And there are English speakers in there and also Spanish speakers as well as the television. So he's speaking in English and his interpreter is doing Spanish. And then he'll switch to Spanish and his interpreter will go to English. It's just normal. And what happens is tongues become a normal part of your life. It's not strange to me, man. It's not strange to my children. In fact, if you have children in your house, you'd be praying in tongues even more. So it's normal for your children to know speaking in tongues is normal. I know Spanish-speaking people, Sergeant Gonzalez, they taught their children to speak in Spanish, and they taught their children to speak in English. It was normal. Your children will easily get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. They'll walk around the house. When Cody and Corinne and Chad, I'm the one who prayed with them every morning before they went to school, and I walked them to the school bus or walked them to the school because we were so close. And I had them praying in tongues for at least half of that time when we were going to wherever we were going, from the youngest to the oldest, praying in other tongues. I made it a normal part of their life. And let me tell you, if you can see the evidence, they've done pretty good. God does pretty good. Yeah. Amen? Because this is His language, not our language. Amen. And He wants to give you the best. Amen?